Brother Donnie today. Johnny in Houston, Texas, or are you in New Orleans?
I'm in here in Houston, Texas, home of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and Mike Ditka from Chicago. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks, guys.
All right, great to have you on. I guess we'll be on Christmas Eve, Monday morning, but getting close to Christmas, great time of year. Brother Johnny, Mike, tomorrow we'll be speaking at the College of Engineering commencement as the speaker. How about that?
Well, I think it's fantastic, and I hope those college boys listen. If you don't listen, you'll never become a success. And John is the epitome of a success as a businessman, a husband, and a father, and a brother, and a friend.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. I'll do the best I can.
Sure, we all know you. We love you.
Well, Johnny, I'm excited. I hope I can get in. I don't have a graduate tomorrow, but I want to come hear you talk.
Well, you're supposed to have a ticket.
Uh-oh.
But I don't know. You might be able to sneak in the back.
Wait a minute. I'll say, do you know who I am? My name's Mike Ditka. Now let me in.
Just
so you know, Mike, and they'll let you in, Stevie.
Yeah. All right. We begin with Fiscal Cliff.
Back in May, I'll remind you, back in May, I said that we shouldn't wait until New Year's Eve to address the fiscal cliff. And since then, Republicans have made every effort to avoid the situation we find ourselves in.
It's time for the speaker to wake up to the simple reality that to deal with this national crisis, we have to deal with it on a bipartisan basis. It means that he has to sit down with the president and work out an agreement. Not with the Tea Party Republicans in his caucus.
I don't know, Johnny. It doesn't feel like these guys can get anything done.
Hard to say. I don't know who's playing what cards for what reason. And, I think obviously it should have been done not just in May. It should have been done a couple of years ago, some kind of addressing it. And the pressure's on now. And I don't know whether they're going to go with a plan or just let it all default. So,
well, I think it's really comes down to the guy who can stop it is the president, and he chooses not to stop it. And it's probably the most overused power I've ever seen. Yeah, there's a lot of power in the presidency, but if it's used improperly, it's not used for all the people, and it's just used for some of the people. It can become a very, very big problem. Now he's got four more years. That's guaranteed. But where this country is after he leaves, it'll be hard to say. He's separated. He's divided. He's done everything that he could do to make us less of America than we've ever been. And I really disagree with that. I'm not saying Republicans are always right. I'm not saying Democrats are always wrong. I'm saying that, hey, country first. I thought we heard all that. Country first. Well, let's go country first. Let's go the American people first. You know,
and I agree.
After a while, it gets a little disgusting because nobody wants to say what it is. It's an overuse of power, period.
Well, and of course, Stevie, as you know, he's getting a lot of accolades, Time Magazine Man of the Year.
Yeah.
He's feeling pretty confident. And,
yeah.
I think Mike's right. I think that he's holding the line on some things that aren't really that relevant and pushing his point. Now, he does seem to have given a little bit of ground, and Boehner seems to have given – they seem to be doing at least one or two things here and there showing that they may come up with a deal. But I don't see what the deal's going to do. Here's the thing, Coach. They're talking about saving $100 billion a year, maybe $150, and they're blowing a trillion-plus over what they get in. And I think we'll basically be in the same boat no matter what happens. And so the big problem is, are we really spending too much? Can they just keep making money, Stevie? Does it really matter? Maybe we're the ones that don't quite understand it. Maybe they can just go up to 20, 30 trillion in debt and it doesn't really matter.
Hmm.
I don't know. But that's where we're headed. Nobody's doing anything about that. We're going to be basically piling a trillion a year onto that $16 trillion debt the next 4 years, period.
Well,
no one's denying that at all. They're not even trying to beat that.
John, let me ask you a question because you know. How many people in this country you think even understood what you just said? Understand the ramifications, what, how many people know and how many people care?
I don't think people understand it, Mike. And I don't think they know the details. They've trusted their leaders, and they love America, and, oh, there's a lot of talk and argument in politics, and as long as they can, fill up the gas tank and buy groceries, I don't think we're going to have any trouble. But if there's a problem with that, it could get pretty bad. And so,
well, it might not be in our lifetime, but a lot of people will be speaking Chinese pretty soon.
How do you take this horrific story we've all had to deal with the Connecticut shootings, and yet there has been more of a rush to buy guns since then because of the fear of upcoming restrictions?
Well, I don't understand it. You know, this would have never happened if the lady didn't have guns. Now, why? What possessed her to have guns? What she was afraid of? What she was trying to do with them? I have no idea. Yeah, I feel sorry she lost her life. But these other people wouldn't have lost her life if she wouldn't have had the guns.
Well, now, Mike, let me just interject. Last week when you said that, there were quite a few that responded saying, you know, we disagree with Coach because we think ladies ought to be able to own guns to defend themselves.
Well, I think you're talking about a gun, then you're talking about semi-automatic weapons.
Yeah, okay. I told him it's probably, if you were to ask Coach the question, he'd probably say, why the semi-automatics? Why so much versus a handgun to protect yourself?
Well, I don't know. If the people that raise that question in your audience are that fearful of their lives, that's pretty amazing to me. In this state, in that town, that would be pretty amazing to me. They must really have a bad outlook about the people in America. People aren't bad. Most people are pretty good. You're going to find a bad one every once in a while. This kid was mentally ill.
Yeah.
And I think that's true, Stevie. There's just too much opportunity for someone to go crazy. I think incidents happen. This is just about as bad as it gets. But I think people are rushing out to buy guns because they would like to buy guns. They're afraid, wait, we might have a law, you can't get any. This might be our last chance. They don't intend to go shoot a bunch of people. They're just hoping to have a gun if someone comes at them with a gun shooting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are afraid, I think, Mike, in this day and time, and they've always been afraid to some extent. Some amount of the people are always afraid. But
I'm going to tell you that maybe I don't get it because I'm afraid driving my car. I'm afraid of that, the way people drive. But I'm not afraid of walking down the street and think somebody's going to shoot me, or being in my house and think somebody's going to come in with a gun and shoot me. I'm not afraid of that. The principles of this country there's nothing that would make you think that. Nothing ever. This was an isolated case of a mentally ill person who had access to the guns. I don't care if the woman owned them, but I don't know why she owned them. But a semi-automatic, come on, guys, you don't need it. Now you got a machine gun, next thing you have a bomb. Come on, it doesn't make any sense.
But you know, too, Mike, it may not be that people are afraid. Maybe that's the wrong way to look at it. Maybe they just want to have control and some power if things get bad. They're not really scared. They just want to.
I have nothing to matter with a guy having a rifle and going hunting, or a woman having a gun and going hunting, or whatever they want to do. But when you say the sole purpose of the weapon is because you're afraid somebody's going to come for you and you're going to shoot them, I don't know if I get it. Maybe I'm just dumb. I don't know. I probably just don't get it.
Well, maybe, Johnny, that's a kind of an indication of where we are in the country with our mindset of being fearful. We saw in Katrina a virtual anarchy in New Orleans because of what happened there with Katrina.
Right, and it's you know, and things can get out of hand fast, and people maybe worry about that more than usual. I think there are people in some areas of some cities that are afraid of people coming at them with a gun. I agree with Mike. I think the vast majority of us enjoy security and peace, and a lot of us haven't got a gun. Half of us don't really have a gun,
right.
And so, but there's a lot of weapons out there, and I don't know how you do something, Mike, it's kind of like this fiscal cliff and economic discussion. There, it's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, Steve. You can spend your time doing that, but you better get off of that ship.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're not solving the problem. Gun restrictions. Yeah, I don't know why we have to have semi-automatic weapons. I'm not 100% sure how much that'll solve, Mike, because someone can always get something to hurt another human being if they want to, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it would make it a little harder to get something to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have the semi-automatic weapon,
if the kid would have had a knife, what was he going to do? Throw 100 knives at the kid?
Yeah.
I mean, or even a regular gun, it wouldn't have been.
Not as bad. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. The Benghazi hearings.
This was not the result of insufficient information nor lack of warning. As the ARB clearly states, the responsible officials at the State Department overlooked mounting evidence that the security situation in Benghazi was deteriorating.
All right, we're going to get to the answers to this, Johnny, or never?
Well, we'll probably get to the answer. I think we know what the answer is. They weren't paying a lot of attention, and I don't think they were certainly not setting anybody up or hoping anyone got hurt, but they didn't do what they needed to do. They didn't pay attention to some of the messages they were getting, whoever they is. And I think it's State Department and our government who sends these emissaries to other countries for us. It was particularly obvious to, in retrospect, that those areas of the country, 911, should have been up to speed, or else our people should have been gone. But I think that's the answer. As far as who did what and why they did this and why in the world did they have the story about the video caused it, we may never really know. I think it was just election politics. I don't think there's anything deeper than that. And I don't think anyone's ever going to really be held accountable, Mike. I think they just move on, and nobody's calling anybody on this. They're going to have these hearings, and I think we know most of the story, but I don't think there's any consequences in the offing. I don't think anything's coming.
Well, I kind of agree with you, unfortunately. It's just a sad situation, and it'll be swept under the carpet, and we'll go on about our lives, like I said, because it doesn't affect 99.9% of the people in this country. 99.9%.
Right.
It really doesn't. Right. So, right. If you can feel bad, and you understand that we had people, military people killed, we had a ambassador killed, or whatever he was, and the same with these children. You know, you don't realize what happened until you see the pictures of these kids.
Mm.
You see the Jack Pinto, and you see these kids, and you think the loss of innocence of life. I mean, they're gone forever, and they were just telling you can remember when you were 7 years old, and I can remember when I was 7 years old, and I got grandkids of that age, and when what a wonder life was. What was going to happen tomorrow? You know, when you get up, where are you going to? You're going to get dressed. You're going to go to school, but you're going to play ball. You're going to play with your friends. You know, you're going to learn. All this is gone. That's what bothers me.
Right, and you know, what a wonder they are. What a wonder life is when we were that age, and what a wonder they are for us when we have them. And just one of the most precious gifts, Stevie,
yep,
that you could ever have are these kids. Mm. And, you know, it's I'm speechless.
Yeah, it's a devastating story.
No, you're right, and it's a shame. But,
it's,
I don't know that, you know, we can talk all we want to on the radio, and some people will hear us and disagree. Some people will agree. There's not much we can change. It's, you know, we're all full of opinions, and I certainly am at my age right now. I'm very full of my opinions. Most of them are pretty good.
I think so, too.
I do,
Coach.
Too, Mike, and so is most of our audience. ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. All right, Mike, like to get your take on the whole New York Jets situation. Did Tebow cause Mark Sanchez to have a bad year? Will either of them be there next year as the Jets turn? It's a soap opera.
Well, really, who cares? It was a gutless move. They brought the kid in and never gave him a chance.
Yeah.
And what were they afraid of? He would succeed? Now, if you didn't want to bring him in, don't bring him in. But Mark Sanchez, going into the last week's game, you understand, listen to me. Going into last week's game, he had thrown 60 touchdown passes and 82 interceptions.
Oof.
He threw 4 or 5 last week.
Yeah. It was hard to watch that game.
I'm just saying, am I blaming Mark Sanchez? No. Do I like Mark Sanchez? Absolutely. The football team around him isn't that good. And I like Rex, but this has been handled very poorly. From the general manager down. And the owner's sitting there, and I don't know that he cares much more about anything than making money. So I don't know. If I was Tim Tebow, I wouldn't want to be there next year. I really wouldn't want to be. I would rather go on about my life, whether it be in football or not in football, and just live my life out. I mean, the same thing happened in Denver. Okay, they wanted to get rid of him, but they would have never won those games without him. They went 8-8 last year.
Right.
Now they got Peyton Manning, and there's no one's ever going to question it. Peyton Manning's one of the greatest players that ever played the game. Is it an upgrade? Absolutely. It's a tremendous upgrade. But, I mean, to for the Jets to trade for the guy and then do what they did to him,
right.
Now do what they're doing to him right now, it's absolutely asinine.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if Rex is going to be around next year after this season because they certainly had a chance.
There might be a wholesale
cleanup.
There might be one in San Diego, too.
Yeah. Well, that's right. All right, the final question. Sean Payton, will he be with the Saints, Johnny? What do you think?
I think Sean will be with the Saints, and shoot, maybe they'll let him come back when we sneak in the playoffs. After all, the Cardinals just have to beat the Bears, the Ravens have to beat the Giants, Texans have to beat the Vikings, and, of course, Saints have to beat the Cowboys, and we survive one more week. Then I'll tell you what has to happen after that if we make it. But
well,
I think Sean will be back next year. What do you think, Mike? I think he's come back to the Saints.
All those things you said are possible. You know, so remote, but possible, okay? Now, I want to say this because I know Sean Payton. He played for me, an excellent coach, a good man, probably a good husband, a good father. What the commissioner did to him was wrong, period. Period. Now, you can go back to, well, what he knew, when he knew it, what he did about it. It was wrong. The punishment did not fit the crime in any way. Now, I can understand the assistant coach if that's what happened, because he was in every one of those meetings. Sean Payton was not in those meetings. And I really believe that. So I think Joe Vitt, what did he have to do? I mean, what did the general manager have to do with it? Mickey, I don't know.
I really don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't get it.
Yep.
And I think the commissioner really overstepped his bounds and overused his power in this situation. But that's him. I understand that he can't let these things happen. But from the beginning, not the beginning of football, for years and years and years, there wasn't a bounty system. But there were people who were paid from the fine money for making tackles or quarterback sacks or hits or catching touchdowns or running for touchdowns. It was always done, believe me.
Well, Johnny.
I think that he'll go back. Stevie, he's got a good situation there. Yeah. And
I'll tell you one thing with John. Drew Brees don't need a whole lot. He's pretty darn good.
Yeah, he is good. But I tell you what, in this case, Johnny, it certainly illuminates that people say, oh, gosh, it's all about the players. The head coach matters in New Orleans.
Well,
And the coach there is doing a good job right now because their defense is playing better.
Differently.
Yeah.
They're getting better, John. And I think I picked them this week to beat the Cowboys, unfortunately.
All right. All right.
Well, I think they can. Well, the way they're playing, I think defense is a little better, they can beat the Cowboys.
John, the Cowboys secondary is horrible. It's an upset.
We will leave it there, guys, but I'll call you Christmas Eve. We'll be watching you on ESPN for the Saturday night game, Mike, and Sundays. We appreciate both of you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank
God
you
bless.
So much. God bless
Merry
you.
Christmas.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.